Amen. Isn't it good to walk in the things of the Spirit? Isn't it good to enjoy the presence of God? Amen. There's a couple things that I should have said about Saul, and I'll be very brief about it. I can think of one of them.
Which Saul?
Saul, old King Saul. We were talking about him last week. Here they are. The one thing is, I didn't mention, Saul committed suicide. He really ended with suicide. Yes, the archer shot him, but he didn't kill him. He wounded him, and he realized that he was going to be finished off, and he told his armor bearer to finish him off, and he wouldn't do it. So Saul put his own sword and he fell on it, and when the armor bearer saw that Saul did this, he did the same thing to himself. So. When I didn't want to sound too speculating that his end was probably hell, but when you commit suicide, and how do you repent of that? It's the one sin you can't repent of because you're dead. I don't have a good feeling for the way Saul went after death. And he was involved in witchcraft and everything else.
Maybe if he didn't commit suicide, maybe there was a chance
he could have repented. Yes, he could have repented. And I suppose he could still have repented in those last seconds before he breathed his last breath. But it does not appear. I think God would have said if he did. The other thing about Saul is, and we're still talking about fire, by the way. It's a long series on fire. I didn't mention that what this obsession and possession and all that was going on in Saul as he was so obsessed with killing David is there was a fire burning in him. See, he had an internal fire. I should have mentioned that. Remember when the Word of God describes Satan when he was Heliel, the angel that fell. And it's either in Isaiah or
Ezekiel,
where the word says, I will call forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it will destroy thee. Remember that?
Probably Ezekiel 28.
Well, let's take a quick look at it. The one in Isaiah is what? Chapter
14.
Here's 14. No, it's not in Isaiah. And let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, what, 28? See, there's a fire that's not a natural fire. Here it is. It's in verse 18. Thou hast defied thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. So what the description of Satan is really what was going on with Saul. There was a fire of hatred. There was a fire of jealousy. There were fires of just name it. And they were burning his soul. And he could get no satisfaction at all from anything that he did. And it just burned him and burned him. And he just chased after David, until finally he himself wound up with the... Well, Samuel actually gave him his last prophecy. He said, tomorrow you and your sons are going to be with me in death, is what he meant. So...
That's the same fire that burns today. a lot of people, this hatred of Trump.
Oh yeah, it's a fire. Yeah, what's
verse 18.
Now I want to look in the New Testament, and let's just take our time with some of these passages. When I first thought about it, I'll just zip right through and I'll just read every verse that has anything to do with fire in Revelation. We're going to Revelation. And then as I read and read and reread and reread and reread again, I thought, no, I can't do this. We've got to stop and look at what's really the context of what's really being said. So, start in the 9th chapter of Revelation. Okay? And we're talking about the 6th trumpet. Now, just for those of you that might be a little new to some of the word here, after those first two chapters, which is the letters to the 7 churches, you have the revelation is being opened up to John. So the first thing is the books. There are 7 books that are opened, okay? And then the angel opens, the Lamb is found, or the seals, I should say, the seals on the books. And the Lamb was found worthy to open the seals. So the opening of each book began to bring a revelation of what was written in the books. Okay? Then when the 7th book was opened, then we have 7 trumpets that are sounding. In other words, these are now announcements that are being given to the hearer. These are the things that are going to happen. Some of the same things that are written in the books are now being announced by the trumpet. Okay? Some of the similar, but it sounds different. There's more detail. There's more. So we're going to be looking at the 6th trumpet. And just for your information, then, after the 7th trumpet, then you have the 7 vials. And we don't know what vials are today. Let's call them bowls. A bowl full of something. Then these 7 bowls, in our language, these things are poured out. These cups, these bowls. But they're pretty big. They're bigger than a drinking cup, I think. And these things are then being poured out. In other words, first is the written word that's revealed what's going to be. Then is the sounding of the trumpet, the announcement to the people. And then the actual pouring out, the happening, that these things are actually being poured out upon the earth. And these things are actually taking place. Now, looking at the 6th trumpet, okay, I want to read some of the verses here. Starting in verse 13, okay, this follows 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, they come in order, and the 6th trumpet, alright? Verse 13 of chapter 9. And the 6th angel sounded. Isn't that interesting? The 6th angel sounded. It's like these angels are themselves a trumpet. Read verse chapter 9, verse 1. And the 5th angel sounded. And the 4th angel sounded. And, you know, so these are not natural trumpets. This is an angel bringing to his lips a word, and he shouts out the word, and it's like the mighty, powerful sound of a trumpet resonating out through the land. Can't you just imagine actually hearing with your natural hearing the sounds of these angels? And I believe there are going to be things happen in the natural realm. The world isn't going to understand what's being done, but there will be angelic announcements that are going to be made. And the people of God are going to hear those announcements. Amen? John heard them. John heard them 2,000 years ago. Well, maybe not quite, but close to two. We'll round it off. 2,000 years ago. So here we go. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. Now, this is language that we cannot understand in the natural way of thinking. An angel makes a trumpet sound, and then the four horns of the golden altar make a sound. As if they are... They're not inanimate objects. They're not just pieces of something. There's a spiritual life in these things. Amen? Which is before God. See, now the golden altar is no longer in the holy place. The golden altar, and you find that in Revelation, or in Hebrews as well. The golden altar is before God. You can say it's behind the veil. On the other hand, the veil has been rent, so there is no veil. So everything that's in the holy place is now before God. So how many of you want to continue to be holy place people? Amen. Because in the holy place, when the veil is removed, you will be before the presence of God. If you're in the outer court, no. There's no guarantee that you'll be any place before, except the outer court being trampled by the world. Okay? And being trampled is not a pleasant thing. All right, so go on. Saying to the sixth angel, so the golden altar is what? What does the golden altar represent?
Death to self.
It's a sacrifice of incense before God, which is the death of your soul. You're pouring out your soul. You're giving everything. You're giving all your thoughts. You're giving all your dreams, your aspirations, your plans, your emotions. What did I miss? Your desires. Yeah.
Your will.
Your will. You're just making it becomes a sweet sacrifice before God. God smells that when you give that to Him. He smells a nice smell. Oh, Rita's just given her whole soul to me. Oh, what a delightful smell. And He's so delighted with that. I can put anybody's name in there, by the way, if that's what you do. Okay? And so the voice answers back from the golden altar. What was, by the way, what was underneath the golden altar?
The martyrs.
The souls of the martyrs. And they were crying to the Lord, "How long, O Lord? How long?" And they were told, "You got to wait a little while yet. There's a few more that are going to be added to your number." So the voice of the horns, what do horns represent? Horns of the golden altar. The golden altar had horns, brethren. The horns are the force, compelling. I mean, out in the outer court, the horns are the brazen altar. What were those horns used for? The horns were used to tie the bull down. Tied him to those horns. He couldn't move. He couldn't get away. Bellow, shrieking, you know. Didn't want to give up his life, you know. So the saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." So the great Euphrates River. And where is the great Euphrates River?
Located on the side, in the borders of Mesopotamia,
which is now known as Iraq. Iraq. In other words, it's the Mideast. All right. What do we know about the Mideast? What is the main driving spirit of the Mideast?
This
part of the Mideast, especially not Israel. I mean this part is the spirit of Islam. And so the cry from the golden altar. See, the golden altar is the prayers of the saints. it seems like the prayers of the saints are calling to this sixth trumpet angel, telling the angel, release what? Release the four angels. Now, this is not heavenly angels that are being released, I don't believe. This is, angels are messengers. Release the four messengers which are bound. See, God's angels are not bound. Which are bound in the great river Euphrates. So there are four big, bad, demonic spirit angels, fallen angels from the devil that have been bound there at that Euphrates River region for many years. And the time has come when they are to be released. Now, we thought that one of those might have got released a little bit anyway at 9-1-1. Remember? 9-11? Because that spirit of Islam went after three of our airplanes, hijacked them. Two of them ran into four airplanes, actually. Two of them ran into the Twin Towers. One of them ran into the Pentagon, and they overpowered the ones that were piloting the fourth, and it went down in some hayfield in Pennsylvania somewhere. It was on its way to Washington, probably to the White House, who knows. But God brought it down.
That's what they were trying to aim for, the White House?
It was headed for Washington.
No, they were way off course.
Well, you come in through Pennsylvania to head to Washington.
Yeah, it's probably not that.
It's right next door, yeah. Okay, so let's go on. And the four angels which were loosed were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. For what purpose? Let's go to the hour, the day, the month, and the year. It was very specific what happened on 9-11. Now, this is a foreshadow, I believe, of the day, the hour, the month, the year. Everybody knows that day and hour. 9-11, what year?
2001.
And I think if you would probably, you would find it was probably 9 something a.m. in the morning. When, what time was it, John?
Right about that time.
Yeah. So it was all of a sudden. I mean, this thing happened. The world was just shocked. The people in America were just shocked. It was a specific day. Let's an hour, a day, a month, a year, a specific date and time on the calendar that this thing happened. Long before you were born, Cody.
George W. Bush.
George Bush was president, yes.
They hate him or something?
They hated everybody. Including him, yes.
So they thought the White House
was the first. I'm not sure the White House, but it was some big target in Washington. The first one hit the Pentagon, which is in Washington. And there was another one also headed for Washington. I can't imagine, but that it wasn't the White House. Or Congress or something. Supreme Court, you know, something.
It would make sense, it would be the White House.
The White House would be the most logical. Yeah, yeah.
Great Satan, he's believing.
Yeah, yeah, they call our president Great Satan. All right, so let's go on. Now, the four angels, these are four unclean, demonic, powerful spirits, so wicked that they have to remain bound for hundreds of years. They are going to be loosed, it says, prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Help me with the math here. What's the world population today?
7 billion.
7? Is it more than 7?
Between 7 and 8 billion.
All right, let's say 7 billion. What is a third of 7 billion? 2.3 maybe? 2.2? No, 2.5. 2.33. So 2.33 billion. What'd you say?
It's China.
Yeah, that's about the population of China. But it isn't going to be just China. So a third of the human beings on the world, these angels are loosed on a certain day, and their purpose is to, they are given the liberty of God to take out a third of the population. Boy, those World Bank people should be real proud of that. That's what they want. They want the population to be reduced by probably two-thirds so that we'll all have sustainable whatever.
Mm. Yeah. They want it to be 500 million.
Yeah. Oh, man, they want to take it down a lot more than that then, don't they?
14 out of 14 people.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to get their way here a little bit here, aren't they?
Yeah.
It says, and the number of the army of the horsemen... Listen, the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. Now, the language that is used here in the New Testament, where what this was written, they did not have a word for million. There was no word in their language for million. So they used the term 200,000. So 1,000,000 is a million. 200 million. All right. I heard the number of the horses, and I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth. Fire is fiery red. Jacinth is hyacinth blue, and brimstone, which is sulfur yellow. So red and blue and yellow was the color. Does that resemble anything today? Somebody said that Chinese have got colors like that. I don't know. Is that true? Fact check me. Okay. And the heads of the horses were as heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now, this is not the kind of horses that eat hay and these are not those kind of horses. I don't know what these things are. It sounds like some kind of a military tank or something. I mean, it spits fire out of its mouth. It spits fire out of its tail. What is this thing? I mean, John is trying to describe what he saw, but he doesn't know what to call it. He knows it's something to do with warfare and battle. Amen? And by these three, was the third part of men killed. What three? Fire, smoke, and brimstone. All right, let's write that. Fire, smoke, brimstone. Now, what's the difference between these three? Why does he list all three? You guys got to help me here a little bit. Why fire and smoke and brimstone? Well, let's talk about fire for a minute. As if we haven't talked enough about fire already. Okay. I can see three purposes of fire. And it isn't all natural fire. See, there's spiritual fire too. So Jeremy mentioned the one here several weeks ago. The one thing about fire was purifying. Right? Now, yes, that's a spiritual fire. Now, purifying will happen only if you're something precious. If you're gold and the fire hits you, the fire cannot destroy you. The fire will only destroy what isn't pure, and you will be left with greater purity after the fire. Maybe this is what Peter meant. Was it Peter? He said, the fiery trials which shall try you are more precious than gold. Isn't that the way Peter said it? So the one purpose of fire is the purifying. All right. There's another one, and that is destruction. So if it doesn't purify it, it's going to destroy it. You put a piece of wood, I burn wood, put wood in the stove, light it on fire, that wood does not get purified. Why? It comes under the title of wood, hay, and stubble. My works that I have done that are wood, hay, and stubble, what's going to happen to it? Destroyed. It'll go up in smoke. It'll go up in smoke and ashes. There'll be a little ashes left. Okay? In other words, when you see smoke and ashes, you see the thing has... It's annihilated. There's no piece of wood in that stove anymore. You can't reach in and take anything. All right, so destruction. And then there's a third... And we're really into spiritual fire, and this is torment. And what was burning in old King Saul, and what the prophet Ezekiel heard about Satan before he God's pronouncement upon him, is that he's going to be tormented. He is full of that fire today. He's on a campaign. He's relentlessly pursuing his campaign to destroy the world, to take over everything that is good, to pollute everything pure. He's on a campaign. He's burning with his zeal to do this, but it's going to destroy him. Okay, let's go on with what the sixth trumpet is all about here. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Okay, brimstone is actually what? It's actually sulfur. It's actually sulfur. And a pure sulfur can be burned. Remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. What hit the beautiful city of Sodom? Fire and brimstone. Okay, so the fire and brimstone. And the smoke, by the way, the smoke of Sodom went up like a furnace. Remember Abraham? The next morning, Abraham came out of his tent, and he looked down into the valley, and he saw the smoke of these cities going up like a giant furnace. So the smoke is a reminder, is something that everybody can see. And you're going to see and you're going to know the destruction that this thing brings. All right? Now... Whatever this thing is, this horse's thing is, he says, their power is in their mouth. All right, brimstone issued from their mouths. Okay, you've seen these tanks, haven't you? I don't know what else they could be. Airplanes, yeah, these flying gunships that fly. I mean, they're shooting rockets out of the front of them as they fly along, and missiles coming out, and some of them have got tail gunners, or they used to. The old planes used to have tail gunners, didn't they, John?
Yeah.
Somebody sitting backwards shooting at any airplane coming from behind. Well, I would imagine that some of these sophisticated tanks probably have some of these same things. They got a great big mouth out of the front, and they shoot fire and brimstone out of those things and destroy anything in there. Now, I'm talking natural, see, because I don't know how to interpret this spiritually. It's still a hidden mystery to me. But I'm going to lay it out. Maybe you're going to have a revelation, and you're going to help me with this. Okay? There's mysteries here that I haven't figured out yet. Let's go on. And for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. Amen? For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So there were heads on the tails. I can only imagine. I've seen pictures of some of these guns. Well, you know, these guns that come out of the tank. And of course, here's the turret, you know, and the tank, and but they have a little what is it? They have a something. It's a muzzle, but it has little slots in it to take care of the air pressure or something.
It's like a plane thrower out of it.
Yeah, but there's some kind of a regulator or something on the front. I don't know. It has something to do with taking away the impact or the back thrust or something. I don't understand all the physics of these things. But John is seeing something that nobody has ever seen before. This is all I can come up with. Okay? Their power's in their mouth and in their tails. So they've got something else coming out here too. And they can spin this thing around and they can shoot. Now it says, remember, it says that there's an army of 200 million. There's an army of 200 million coming when these things are released. Now it doesn't necessarily mean they have to come across the Euphrates. I believe it's spiritual language. But when this thing is released, it also releases an army of 200 million. I only know of one nation that claims they have an army of 200 million. And you know what that is.
Yeah.
That's China. They've bragged about that for the last 20 years, that they have 200 million men that they can put out in the field if they want to. Okay, now let's see. And the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues. Okay. This thing here is being described as plagues. It might not be natural fire, natural smoke, and natural brimstone if God is describing it. By the way, go through, it is interesting, I didn't realize it. Go through the book of Revelation and find the word plagues, and you find it in almost every other chapter. Plagues, 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 plagues. And we should not be excited. We should not be amazed. I guess that's the best. We should not be amazed at the way mankind is dealing with these plagues today. There have been plagues for years and years and years and years. Go back, I don't know how far back. Go back to the 1500s, 1600s. They called it the Black Plague. Bubonic plague is what it was. And People just dying here, dying there. It was all over Europe. And what did they say? They thought a third of the population or something might have been hit by that? What do you remember, Larry?
I think that's about right. In
the course of time, it could have taken effect on approximately a third of the population.
And when you got it, you were dead.
Oh yeah, there's no IVs, there's no ICUs. You're dead. You're done. And people talked about it. They called it the Black Plague.
And that's what they're trying to equate the COVID to.
Yeah.
You get it, you die.
Yeah, they want us to believe that about this COVID thing. Now, we listened to Brother Bert also. He brought a word. He says COVID isn't going to go away. Heard Brother Campbell too. Brother Campbell didn't prophesy, but he brought a word, and it was a couple weeks there, almost a little over a week ago. Maybe he'll bring another word. Maybe we'll hear yet what the prophetic word is for the coming time. Brother Isaac, I think, brought probably the most clear prophetic pronouncement, but it wasn't specific. It was still general. I want to hear more specific prophetic word, what God is doing. So it says these plagues. Now, the rest of men which were not killed, all right, we're talking about the two-thirds now that did not die from this. What happened to them? Yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils or demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. So this did not, this mass killing by whatever this is, it could be something spiritual. I just drew a picture of a natural thing, but it doesn't fit any natural, really, it doesn't precisely fit any natural thing that I really know. It most fits, you know, a tank or something, but that may not be what it is.
What's it do? I mean, it's fired. It'd only be good for having people in front of you.
Yeah, so maybe it's a flying thing. We know that there were flying locusts that were released from the pit, and these things also kill people. So John has got some spiritual pictures that we don't know exactly, but let's look at man's reaction to them. Men of the world will not repent. And specifically, what did they not repent of? All right. Neither repented they of their murders, their sorceries, their fornication, or their thefts. Now, I'm going to write these four here. Read them again to me. Would you, Rita?
Murders?
No, let's start at the beginning.
Neither repented they of their murder.
Oh, number one was murder.
No, number one was the worship of idols.
Well, in this verse, just this verse.
Sorceries.
Murders and then sorceries. Okay. Murders. And I'm going to put the Greek name here for that that was translated sorcerers. I'm going to put the Greek word here and you're going to know what it means. Pharmakia. What is pharmakia?
Drugs.
Murders, pharmakia. Number three was what?
Fornication.
And thefts. So what is the cause of we'll eliminate white collar crime? What are the jails and prisons filled with?
Murderers.
murders. But why do people murder? Well, sometimes for hate, but the people that run the pharmakia, the drug business, and they're doing that, some of them are doing that for money, but people that are down on the lower end, what are they doing to get their pharmakias? Why are people shoplifting some of the, why are some of the people shoplifting at Walmart? Not because they need 35 pair of shoes, because they want whatever. They need their drugs.
Shoes won't do it.
No, but they trade them. See, whatever.
Or expensive items.
All right, big television sets. See, I'm not a very good thief. I wouldn't know what to steal.
They're still trying to get out the door with those things.
Yeah, wheel them right out the door, John.
Yeah.
Just act like I paid for it. That's why they've got them all wrapped up with those little round things,
yeah.
Because those little buzzers are going to go off when you go out the door.
But they get just so far out, and the employees are told don't pursue them because they don't want anybody hurt and turn around suing the company. They let them go.
This is driving a lot of crime. You steal. If you can't get it that way, you murder. People have been murdered for just a few bucks so that they can get a few drugs. Yes, people get murdered for that. All right, so that's the one. All right, let's go to... It's the wind, yeah. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. Yeah, let's take another look here. We're not going to get through here today. Revelation chapter 14. Let's look at a few more. Now, Revelation chapter 14 is the 144,000. Okay? And I'm going to read a bit of this here today, just so that you have the picture of what's going on. It says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads." Now, again, this is spiritual. This is spiritual. You're not going to have something written across your forehead in tattoo or ink that other people are going to be able to photograph. There's people that don't want to believe this. Really, there's Christians. I made a statement like this in Ukraine one time. And a woman came up to me and she was very angry. She wanted that written on the forehead, on her natural forehead. I said, "Sister, this is spiritual language. The Father's nature, His name is His nature. It's written in my mind. My mind thinks the Father. It does not think evil or thefts or murder or pharmakia." Amen. "And I heard a voice in heaven as the voice of many waters, and a voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps." The voice, see, the voice of harpers harping with their harps. I'm not very good at playing a guitar. I'm not very good at playing a piano. But God will give me a voice to harp with my harp.
Amen.
And it'll sound a whole lot better than I've ever been able to sound in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So let's just, it says, "And they sung a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed of the earth." Now let me go down here a little bit. I'm just going to skip down to verse 8. Okay? Okay, no, let's go to verse 6. Yeah. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Larry, was this one of your gospels? The everlasting gospel?
Yes.
Amen.
Which one was it?
Amen.
That would be the ultimate gospel.
The everlasting gospel.
Yes. Preaching of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Died on the cross for
us. To preach the everlasting gospel unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. That should include everybody. Amen. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Now here's where I want to start. I just gave you that for a background, okay? Context. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Notice how the angel repeated it twice. Babylon is fallen, is fallen.
Amen.
That great city. Now, when we're talking about a city, we sang one of the songs this morning. What was the song about the city of God? What was the what was that line there, Rita? No, it was the city. It included the city of.
There is no darkness.
Hallelujah!
The Lamb is the light in the city of God. So you've got let's say the tale of two cities. You've got the city of God and the city of Babylon. The city of Babylon is what? It's the world. The city of the world. Now, it's not a natural city. You're not going to be able to drive along. People use the strangest terms. The homosexual community. Where is it? You're driving along, you see a little sign. Welcome to the homosexual community. No. Come on. Welcome to the city of God. No, you're not going to see a sign. Welcome to Babylon. Well, there is some places named Babylon. There's a Babylon, New York, isn't there?
Yes, on Long
Island. It's on Long Island, isn't it? Boy, why would they ever name a place like that?
It's actually very nice.
It must be nice, but I don't want to live there. Yeah. All right, so there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, that great city, because she. Now, what aspect of Babylon is being referred to by she? Female city is what?
Religion.
Female is also, is always a religious system. The bride of Christ is what? Female. The false bride of Christ, the one that should have been the bride of Christ, is what? Another city, but it's Babylon. It's the great harlot. Okay? That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, you see, in the natural, men were not giving this up. No way, man. Ain't going to give that up. Don't tell me what I have to do or can't do. And no matter how perverse it is, men will not give it up. But this is spiritual fornication now. You see, what happens in the natural happens in the spiritual. There's another. It's unfaithfulness. Any worship of anything other than God is unfaithful. But now we have a church that's doing it. She says she's the bride. She's the special one. But she's unfaithful to her husband, God. And it says she has made the nations drink of the wine of her fornication. What does wine do?
Be drunk. Intoxicate you.
Well, it tastes good, doesn't it? Most people think it tastes good, don't they? Well, why do people drink it if it doesn't taste good? Yeah, and it's got some kind of a ting to it or something. It has a taste, and it intoxicates you. And what else does it do for you, Larry? Not that you know by experience or anything, but you've observed.
Well,
takes away your troubles.
Yeah, makes you feel good.
You forget all your troubles, and you lose your inhibitions too, don't you? People lose inhibitions. People that have a proclivity to want to pick a fight, they have no inhibition anymore. They'll fight with anybody. Yeah, so the wine of the fornication, you see, the unfaithfulness is a type of intoxicating thing, and there's a doctrine that goes along with it that says, look, no problem, come in Saturday night and do your confession and you're all set. Another doctrine that says, the torment won't last forever. It'll burn, it'll purify you. Hell will purify. No, hell won't. What goes to hell is nothing that can be purified. The sin cannot be fried out of you. So these are doctrines. Another cheap doctrine. Well, it don't matter how you live, as long as you said you were born again and everything, you walked the sawdust trail, you said the confession, you signed the paper, whatever it is. Now you're going to get raptured. You will not face any trouble at the end. Wine of her fornication. See, this is part of the harlot. This is harlot doctrines, and it's gotten into the church. Harlot doctrines. Now, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same, see, if any man takes the mark of the beast, receives the mark of his beast, receive. Did you get that word receive? In other words, you buy it. You acknowledge it. You want it. You accept it. If you receive it, they come around. Let's say somebody comes around with a big stamp. Will you take the mark? Sure. Go ahead. Now that isn't the way it's going to happen. I just use that as an example. Do you buy the New World Order doctrine? Do you buy globalism? Do you believe that's the way we should go? Yes, yes, I buy it. Yes, let's all vote for that way. You bought it. You bought it in your mind, and now with your hand, you're going to work for it. You're going to work for that system. You're going to work for that beast. When you see that beast with its seven heads or whatever, when you see that system, you're going to say, yes, that's what this world needs. And the angel says, if any man has received that mark, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Now, we got a different kind of wrath wine here, don't we? This is not a pleasant kind of wine to drink. The wine of the wrath of God. And they're going to get a big, full belly full. It says here, which is poured out without mixture. It isn't mixed at all. It's full strength. Not diluted. Into the cup of his indignation. Here's one of these cups now. Of God has a cup of indignation. It keeps filling up. And the more wickedness that mankind adds into this world, the higher the mark on that cup goes. One day that cup is going to get full and God is going to say, enough, I'm pouring it out. And then indignation is going to flow across the earth. And trouble and plagues and whatever you can possibly imagine. Tumult. Every kind of trouble is going to be poured out. Now how soon? I don't know. some of the prophetic words seems to say it's quite quick. I heard a man tell me the other day, said, "No, Brother Mark, it ain't going to happen for another 20 years. I said, "Brother, I hope you're a prophet, but I don't believe it." Well, he says to me, "Mark, where do you expect to be 20 years from now?" I don't think he knew how old I was. I said, 20 years from now, I'll be saying, in 6 months, I'll have my 100th birthday. Where will you be 20 years from now?
47,
yeah. What, are you going backward?
Yeah, you reach a point in life, you have to go backward.
Oh, well, then I'll just be a kid.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, now here we come to the key. We're talking about fire, and I'm going to quit after this. He says, "The same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation." Poured out now. This cup is being poured out. Amen. "And he shall be tormented with fire." All right, now we come to the third. This is not purifying fire. This is fire. It's already been destroyed. All that's left now is torment. That soul has already been destroyed. Everything I see about old King Saul's soul, it's been destroyed already. Amen? Poured out, tormented with fire and brimstone. There's your fire and brimstone again. Right? "In the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb." What? I always had the idea that this torment was going to be some secret chamber that nobody would ever be able to get a glimpse of. But it says here, "in the presence of the angels and the Lamb."
Well, that's at the white throne judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. And the smoke. All right, here's your third ingredient now. "And the smoke of their torment," smoke of their torment, "ascendeth up forever and ever." Does anybody see an end to the term forever and ever? Does anybody see that it lasts for 10 years or 20 years, or that it lasts until you pay the priest to make enough prayers for you to get you out? It says forever and ever. This is, listen, the writers of these, when God gave this, and the writers that wrote it, they were not stupid men. They had a full vocabulary of words. They knew how, they expressed exactly what they intended to say. And when it says forever and ever, it means forever and ever. Even if the Greek word eon is used, it doesn't mean for a short period of time. You know, given the best case scenario, an eon is only a million years. You still want to go through a couple million years of torment before you got it all burned out of you? I don't want a minute of it. I'm talking about the ultimate wreck doctrine, which is another doctrine of demons. It's the same as purgatory. Really. Just another version of the doctrine of purgatory. And eternal security, another doctrine. That happens to be more of a evangelical doctrine. Eternal security. Say it, once saved, always saved. Can't ever get out of it. Live like the devil after you're saved, and then you'll get raptured. No. False doctrines. "And the smoke of the torment ascends forever and ever." Smoke. Why the smoke? Why does the smoke go up forever and ever? Why? Smoke is something you can see. Other people are going to see it. When this harlot, we'll get to that the next time. When this great harlot is burned, the smoke goes up and continues and continues and continues. And that city, the smoke of that city is going to be seen, and you're going to know that this thing is destroyed, and you will not long to go back and have a part of it again. You will see it. Smoke is a continuing reminder. When you see the smoke go up from your fire, it is a continual, if you're outdoors and you can see it from the chimney, it is a continuing reminder that you can see, that you know something is being destroyed, annihilated, and if it's a soul, it's being tormented. Why? You see, a human soul cannot be further destroyed. Once a human soul is made, it is forever. Once God puts a human soul in a living being and puts the life of God in that human soul, that soul is going to live forever and ever. Now the soul of a cow, the soul of a dog, the soul of a cat, horse, what have you, when that soul dies, it's done, it's gone. Because God did not breathe the breath of life into those animals. Monkeys. People are still going to court trying to prove their monkeys are human. There was a case in where Gloversville a couple years ago. Do you remember, Larry? Guy had a monkey or something. What was it? A monkey, and he went to court to try to prove that the monkey was human. He got thrown out. Someday these stupid judges are going to let these things in. Judges are getting just as crazy as some of the other people. Boy, don't we know. It says, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receiveth the mark of his name. Boy, now listen, you get vaccinated, that's not the mark of the beast. It's not going to send you to hell forever and ever. Most people I know choose not to take it. Okay? That's not buying the whole nine yards of the New World Order. That's not buying the beast. It's a test. They want to know how much they can get away with forcing on mankind. This is called totalitarianism. When they force you to do it, it's totalitarianism. That total control over human beings. The Russian communists did it. They started their revolution in 1917, and it was a totalitarian. That thing spread to China. It spread to many other places. You go down to Cuba. The people do not live free in Cuba. They say, hey, man, and all that. They do not live free.
Or New York State.
Or New York State. Well, some of us in New York State are going to be free anyway. It doesn't matter what the emperor does. Doesn't matter what the emperor says. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice, I'll finish with this, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. See, there's going to be people die in the Lord. Blessed are they which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Amen.